You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome to my couch. As you always are at this time, it's 11 in the morning here on Pacific Coast Standard Time, here in L.A. On the internet's most listened to talk radio station, L.A. Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody. As always, a great show for you today. Man, are you going to learn a lot about yourself and about strength, about getting it together, how to build from a lot of tragedy and problems you've had, moving your way up, becoming happier, just having a better life in general. That's what it's about, don't you know? I mean, come on, guys. You know, every time we watch or hear the news, yeah, right, it's mostly about tragedy. What next? We're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's negative. What's going on out here? So I want you to call me if you have any questions or if you have any issues you'd like to share. And of course, if you have any questions for my special guest today, who I'll be talking about in just a little bit. The number here in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And I invite you to call. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can contact me, of course, through the email address here, hooked up to the station, docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. That's the way we do it. So, you know, it's just like every time we hear or watch the news, anything, it's mostly about tragedy or negative events that have happened, right? Whether it's accidents or illness, missing planes, of course, all the problems, stress, and worries that we have in our own lives. You know, job issues, financial issues, emotional issues, relationship issues, family issues. It goes on and on. Of course, we want to know what's going on in our world, in our local community, and we want to try to take care of business with everybody and help people out. But, you know, this constant negative information could really affect us, our constant worry. You know what I'm saying? We're going to help you deal with overcoming your fears or just getting stronger. Things that stress you out a little bit. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Because, you know, there's a lot of things going on around us, like I said. You know, so what I want you to do is just kind of hear what I have to say a little bit. And then I'm going to introduce my guest. And again, he's amazing. He's going to help you out. So whether you've been, you know, coping with stress, fears, you know, real stuff based on your scary experiences. We all have the real stuff going on. If you've been a victim of illness, crime, or accident, you know, whatever it is, I have more and more patients coming to me. You can really help yourself. And there's a lot of good things you can do. You know those thoughts you have, guys, to say, what if the other shoe drops? Those predicting the worst may happen thoughts. Well, it's natural for us. I mean, our brains, we have to be prepared for things, you know. But to create worst-case scenarios that drives us crazy is not healthy. Duh. Duh, duh, duh. My goal today is not to help you put a false face or to, you know, let's be happy. Life's great and everything's wonderful. No, no, no. And I don't want to put you on a downer. This is not my goal. I'm not one of those kind of shows. Nope. Not going to instill fear in you. No, hate fear. It'd stir you up. I want you to overcome some of your fears. I want you to kind of deal with your worries, even though you may have suffered in the past from scary and traumatic events in your life or around you, You know, there are ways to manage these things. There are ways to live your life in a more positive way. There really are. And we're going to find out how to do those things. I have an amazing guest today. His name's David Tuckerell. He's a positive man who overcame a life-threatening disease and so many of his inner issues. You know, this guy has been through it, and he's going to inspire you. I can guarantee you guys, you're going to feel better when you finish listening to the show today. And if you can't because you're, you know, driving and you have to pull and go to work, or if you're whatever you're doing, if your boss is not liking you, listen to the station with your earphones in. Then you can listen to the show again. It's going to be Downplay reruns available tomorrow for you. So let me just talk about my man here, David Tuckerell. And he is an amazing Native American man. He was born and raised in Fort McMurray, Canada. And in his latest book we're talking about, The True Story of David Tuckerell Jr., Bad to the Bone. He's going to tell you about a journey of self-discovery through pain, hopelessness, and the feeling of inadequacy. He, by the way, was diagnosed with leukemia and has overcome the disorder. He's had a lot of physical issues. He's had, you know, some stuff growing up, too. But he found healing in his world, in his passion, and people who loved him and took care of him. And this book is amazing. By the way, it's written by Marala Scott. Now, I don't know if you've heard of her or not, but I'm sure you have. She's the award-winning author of many books. And she's a motivational speaker, ghostwriter, Oprah Winfrey's ambassador of hope. Yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Marala and how my special guest, David, met her as well. So I think he's on the air with us right now. David, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Hi, thank you so very much for having me. It's a true honor to be on your show today.
You're such a cool guy. I was blown away by your book. Couldn't put it down. Read the whole thing. And, you know, you're an inspiring guy. What can I say? So when I talk about listeners really getting into your book, I mean it. This is not one of those, hey, you got to pick up the book. You know. So, David, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing excellent today. Yeah. How are you doing?
You know, I'm in La La Land here. I'm doing well. I wake up and say thank you for consciousness. That's what I say.
Yep. I did the same thing too before I put my feet on the ground.
There you go.
Thank you for today, you know?
Yeah, I do. I believe that from you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking
about
go ahead.
Just to say thank you, you know, it's just we kind of for me, it's just you have to do that in the morning, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of show a bit of respect to the man upstairs for giving us another one.
Mm-hmm. You got that right, man. And, you know, I was reading in the beginning of your book. Let's just talk about your story, shall we? You talk about the fact that you were one of those folks just kind of meandering through life and attempting to be inconspicuous, right? And that if you had invested in something in life, that, you know, some of the recklessness, as you describe it, you engaged in, would not have occurred. Now, so we're going to just kind of take a little journey through your book so you can turn people on. We're not going to give them the whole story because they need to pick it up. So can you explain to listeners a little bit what you mean by that, David?
Well, basically, you know, I just went through life just existing, not living, you know, and... I just, you know, I had such inadequacies because I would really compare myself to what my dad was doing. And, you know, I fell short of my goals a lot of the times because they were his goals. And I mistook what he was doing for myself. And that was obviously the big problem, is because these weren't my goals. These were false realities. And it really just set me up for failure every time.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, meandering through life is just me really looking to belong, to find out where I fit in life. And would do anything possible to kind of feel like I belonged and I fit somewhere.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You know, I have a lot of young adult patients and, you know, even older patients who say, you know, I was kind of like feeling like I had to live up to, you know, my parents, one or both, dreams, and I didn't feel like I fit into society, and I had low self-esteem, and it was really tough. And this is, you know, I hear this often. And it's really difficult. It's really common for me to see patients who feel they don't have, like, a decent bond, you know, with one or both of their parents. I do want to mention that I do know that you admire your dad's strength and accomplishments. He was amazing. He was a, you know, really high achiever growing up. But like you said,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's the hardest working man I've ever known. And,
wow.
You know, he's definitely a good role model to look up to. But like I said, you know, my mistake was taking his goals from mine. You know, that was my own doing and my own fault. So I have nobody to blame for that but myself. But yeah, he's just such an accomplished man and hardworking. And, you know, he's for the community, you know, like our community, the Native people, to really give him some work, you know, and he's just done a great job at that.
Can you talk just a little bit about what your dad did to help folks?
Oh, gosh, yeah. He started, you know, he has a few companies in Fort McMurray, and he you know, hires anybody and everybody, you know, and he treats his employees very well, like, with what he does. It's just, he's got a great company to work for, so he does a lot for our community.
And that the community is specifically like the Miccoso Cree First Nation. Is that right, David?
Yeah, well, that's our tribe. It's the Miccoso Cree First Nations, but it's not. We're not just limited to just, you know, our tribe. It's all tribes, anybody and everybody. It's just we create the work ethic that's, you know, very strong and very unity based kind of company.
That's great. Oh, man, that is so nice. That's awesome. So you admired him growing up, and you know, but you were a different soul. This is the thing that I try to tell folks, too. We all come into this, you know, world with our own personality, our own soul, our own needs, and our own passions that we need to find. And a lot of times, you know, our parents just sort of model that, but it's not within us. It's not our journey. So I understand, you know, what you're talking about.
Yeah,
so
what a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's so funny, David. It really is. So, moving along, you had, you know, great parents. You have great parents. In your book, Bad to the Bone, I read about how your mom and dad, you know, they terminated the marriage. They got divorced around the time, which is really a critical for young people. About the time you were graduating, I guess, from high school.
Yeah.
And I know your mom decided to move back to England. And you kind of felt a little abandoned, but, you know, that's okay. We all do when parents divorce. So let's talk about, you know, some of the things going on. You were trying to find your identity. You were growing up. You were trying to find your passion. And you were a little shy, weren't you, David?
Oh, very shy, very introverted person, you know. Like I said, you know, looking up to my dad and his accomplishments and not, you know, being able to get there really made me a very shy, introverted person.
And, you know, that's sweet. That was your personality. I understand your sister was a little more outgoing and, you know, she was sort of a contrast to you at times.
She's like the spitting image of my dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So her and my dad got on very well because they both had that kind of hard-headed attitude, you know, just figure it out kind of attitude. And yeah, so those two, you know, she was really just like my dad was. And I really took kind of more what my mom was like with the empathy and the sympathy and all those kind of feelings, you know.
Absolutely. And that's great, by the way. But the problem is being a really sensitive person sometimes can get us really in trouble because we take on a lot of others' energies, and we really care a lot.
Absolutely.
You know, we have to sort of, I guess, protect ourselves, you know, from that energy, right? It's hard to do, though.
It is.
So then, you know, just sort of going through your life in your book, and, you know, you had sort of a little bit of trouble trying to find who you were, what you wanted. You didn't want to follow in your dad's shoes, and so you were searching for things. You went in and out of jobs. You experienced different things. And then you were diagnosed with leukemia. Can you talk about that situation in your life a little bit and what that was like?
Yeah, well, I mean, at first, you know, before I was diagnosed, for me, it was just I felt like I had a really bad flu. And, you know, a lot of the symptoms would have said so, you know. I had really bad fatigue, nausea, vomiting was bad. I was hemorrhaging, which was unusual for me. And I would, you know, lie on the couch. I couldn't move. You know, just, there was not only was there no energy, but I just couldn't move.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of thought there was something wrong, but I really didn't want to find out what was wrong with me because I knew it wouldn't be good. My father kept repeatedly telling me to get my blood work done, which, again, I didn't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just had all these symptoms, black floaties and white dots in my vision.
Yeah.
Sharp stabbing pain in my side, and it wasn't until Christmas Eve that I was diagnosed with ALL leukemia. And, you know, when I was told I had leukemia, I knew exactly what leukemia was, but I didn't. And really, that was when, you know, the whole fight for my life started. But it was just very, I was just in a state of shock when I was told what I had.
Yeah.
And I just, it felt like it was a movie almost, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this really happening? Is this real? But it was really very surreal. And, I can't really, just the feelings that I had, it was just like an outer body kind of thing happening.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's almost like what we do to protect our brains, you know, from, you know, information that's really shocking to us. It's like, wait a minute. It's like out of body. It's no, this can't be happening. We just go into different stages, right? Denial and right.
Well, yeah, actually there's all, you know, you go through the wide series of emotions and that just, you know, is to be expected for anybody. But at first, you know, after I got out of the state of shock, and it was, you know, obviously, you know, the anger, the resentment, the why me, why not the murderer, drug dealer, pedophile, rapist, you know, why not them, why me?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, lots of feelings going through me, especially right at the beginning. And anger seemed to be the one that kind of fit my persona at that time. So there was a lot of anger with me, you know, and it really, you know, helped kind of fuel my anger to get through what I was going through. Anger kind of helped get me, help fight what I was going through, you know, like, are you kidding me? You're going to give this to me? Well, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. That's just, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Good for you, man. How old were you when you were going through this?
25.
Damn.
And the thing about it is, I had childhood leukemia as an adult.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm just learning more and more about this now. So for everybody out there, I do not know everything. I must stress that I don't know everything. But from what I'm told is an adult getting childhood leukemia is very rare to beat. You know?
Yeah.
I had all the reasons why I wasn't going to make it and none for why I would. You know, I was written off several times from a doctor, so he can only understand my cynicism when, you know, I'm going through all of this, like, really? Come on. So it really, you know, like I said, fueled me to just fight it and prove everybody wrong that, you know, had already kind of written me off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's tough sometimes, too, because, I mean, here you are, you're going through treatments, and you get the diagnosis and the doctors, and again, a lot of doctors, I mean, that's what they do. They give you the prognosis, which wasn't great, and then, of course, you have the family members who are all, oh, my God, you don't want to tell people, you don't want to tell anybody, your friends, nobody, right?
Mm-hmm. And like you said, there it's one extreme to the other. You know, you have the doctor coming in kind of nonchalantly saying, you know, white cells this, T cells this, hemoglobin this, blah, 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 leukemia, blah, blah, blah. You know, very, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Mm.
Very pessimistic.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
And then you have my family on the polar opposite who are, like, scared to death and looking for any and all reasons to fight this. And, you know, it just, you just see really kind of the best and worst in humanity at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way to the doctors, but I mean, it is their job to be pessimistic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, what I found is, you know, they you know, expect the worst but pray for the best, you know, is what I found a lot of the doctor's mentality was when I was going through this.
Well, sure, exactly. And that's sort of what they learn and what they're oriented to, you know? By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, David Tuckerow. He's an amazing, positive man who overcame a life-threatening disease, leukemia, as a matter of fact. The book is the true story of David Tuckerow Jr. It's called Bad to the Bone. What a great title, man. I mean, that's amazing. That's perfect. It's written by Marala Scott. Of course, she's an award-winning author and a motivational speaker. One of Oprah's ambassadors of hope. And I'll tell you how you can find out more about Marala as well and her books at the end of the show, as well as find out about David, his story, and get a hold of his book, which is riveting. It's amazing. It's very positive, by the way, folks. You know, a lot of people, we were just talking about this, Dave, have a tendency to go, ooh, it's too scary. I don't want to read about it. This is a really inspirational book. And I thank you for that. I thank you for sharing your story with so many people about your strength.
You know, it's a story that I think really needs to be heard. And, and also it comes from the perspective of, you know, the patient going through, you know, the horrors. So people that are going through this, you know, it's kind of a firsthand, you know, somebody that will be with you, per se, you know, in a book that can kind of help you go through, you know, your journey as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, cancer is a journey, and it's not a handbook, but it's pretty close, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely it is. It really is. It shows people your journey, what you were feeling, some things that were going on in your life, but how you overcame a lot of fears, and, of course, the positive prognosis, and how you continue to grow and be healthy. So that's the cool thing. So, you know, you did go through a lot, and you talked about your anger, and you talked about stuff, you know, going on. Can you describe what happened? I love this part of the book. In April of 2007, when you finally learned about your donor, and the moment you finally met the guy who donated his bone marrow to save your life.
All right. Well, in April 2007 is when I was going through my bone marrow transplant.
Yeah.
And for me, that was, you know, a choice of, I had, you know, two matches. So for me, it was a choice of choosing the blood type. And I chose a blood type B positive because, you know, I just, it just for so many levels, for so many reasons, I chose that. But for my main reason was because, for me, I had to be positive throughout this whole situation.
Yeah.
And the fact that that blood type came up let me know that there was just, this was a sign that I needed to have that in me, because I need to be positive. I need to have the blood type. I need to own it.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I chose the blood type, be positive. But I didn't get a chance to meet my bone marrow donor for actually quite a few years. Yeah. Because when you get your bone marrow transplant, you have to wait a couple of years by law. And, I did that.
Yeah.
I waited for a couple of years, and then I was writing to my bone marrow registry in British Columbia in Vancouver, and he was writing to his out in Germany. And somewhere it got lost in translation between Vancouver and Germany, but he was writing and I was writing. So I guess about another two more years go by, so now it's four, and 2011 is, you know, I got a call and they said, your bone marrow donor wants to meet you. Do you want to meet him? Well, of course I want to meet the person that saved my life.
Yeah.
So I asked, you know, three questions, male or female, where are they from, and how old? So they gave me all the information, and I just, I don't know what it was. Something in my gut said this person will be from Germany, or at least Europe, but really it'll be from Germany.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, it was Christian Holtmann from Germany. He was my match, and my genetic DNA twin, and when I met the man, you know, it was like, it, nothing else mattered. This is the man that saved my life. And what do you do? What do you say? How do you act towards somebody that does something for you?
Yes.
All I could do was give him a hug and smile.
No kidding.
It's all I could do was give him a hug and smile and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, a million times over.
Mm. And, you know, it's just, you guys have formed an incredible bond in your life. I mean, it's, isn't it amazing? Isn't that the best? And by the way, go ahead, Dave, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing that, yeah, it really is the best, you know. And meeting your bone marrow donor, the person that saves your life, like, that's a whole new element of friendship right there, you know. Like, that's something else. Yeah, it's just such an incredible feeling.
You know, it makes you think that, you know, we are all one. I mean, there are miracles. It's just such an incredible story because, you know, so many times, like I was saying at the top of the show, there's so many negatives and all you hear is bad news and illnesses and this and that. But to hear your story that this one person decided to go in and, you know, give his blood and be there to help other people who may need bone marrow transplants, you know, changed your life. And other people can change their lives too. I know you really emphasize in your book, please donate, guys. Do it.
Yeah.
Donate your blood. And it's simple, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the mission of the story is mm-hmm. Two missions for the story. One is for me to give hope to people that really don't have any hope, you know. Yeah. You know, to the cynical people out there that, you know, this is, you know, just kind of one of those fluffy stories. It's really not. You know, I've been through the ringer numerous times, and I want to show other people that they're not alone. So it's really to empower people. But the other goal of this book and my other mission with this is to raise awareness of the importance of bone marrow donations.
Yeah.
It's what saved my life, you know. And, you know, this is my story, but you know what? I want to create more of these stories, you know. I want to hear more of these empowering, oh, I donated bone marrow and I'm just about to meet my recipient.
Mm.
That's incredible for me, you know. Mm. I want to hear these stories.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, be able to, you know, just meet these people that are, you know, selflessly donating some bone marrow to save lives, because you never know whose life you can save. I'm the prime example of that, and it's just the feeling that comes along with, you know, knowing you're really, really serving humanity. It's just such an overwhelming positive feeling.
Gosh.
And I really want to create more of those positive stories.
That's so cool. I love it. If you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is David Tuckerow. He's an amazing, positive man who overcame leukemia. It's the book, The True Story of David Tuckerow, Jr., Bad to the Bone. It's written by Barala Scott. But it's your story, babe. You own it. You own it. So, you know, I'm saying.
Yeah.
The thing is what can I say? It's just, it's your truth. And you are such an inspiration to a lot of folks. I really encourage you guys to pick up this book. So you went through the pain associated with leukemia, all the treatments, the chemotherapy. You know, you were on various medications. I know about the cortisone stuff. Been there, done that. It weakens your bones, makes you sicker.
Yeah.
Have to go through other surgeries sometimes. But, you know, you did get addicted for a little while to pain medications, which is normal, by the way, folks. if you're living on pain meds,
territory, you know, it just comes with the territory there.
Yeah, it does. So I know you went through that, and you battled through that. And God bless you for making it through on that one, because, you know, it's one of the hardest things. You're living with pain. You're in a, you know, snowball effect here. You're living with pain. Gets worse. You take the pain meds. You get addicted more and more. And, you know, the tolerance levels go up. It's just a tough battle.
Catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know.
Yeah, I do know.
But for, you know, when I was, you know, going through all of that phase of my life, like I said, it came with the territory, you know.
Yeah.
The pain was really extreme. And, I was you know, heavily into that for a little period of my life because the pain was just so ridiculous. And, you know, with, like you said earlier, the cortisone stuff, I you know, take prednisone, and I've had my left shoulder, both of my hips, and my right knee replaced because of it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a very progressive disease in me called avascular necrosis.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, you know, I've got a few other offset diseases because of all of the other medications I've done.
Sure.
And, you know, it was just really hard. Like, the pain is just really tremendous, and it was all I could do was, you know, that. But I also found that, you know, escaping in music really, too, was another huge benefit for me. Like, I can't even tell you how much money I've spent on iTunes, you know, getting lost in an album, you know, and then replaying that album, and I'm just getting lost in it. But music was more of an addictive thing for me than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It still is, you know. I love music, and the feeling I get from it, there's just nothing better than that.
I hear you. I mean, it's just, what a great thing, you know, it's called sublimation. You know, you put your stuff and your pain onto something else that is really healthy for you. And it's almost like meditation. When we're listening to music and inspired by it, we're in the here and now. That's all we can think about. We're in the groove. We're in the flow. We're in spirit. And I get that. And good for you. You play music. You're an
Absolutely.
Artist. You're an artist. Tell me about your music. I should have put some on the air here. Dang.
Oh,
yeah.
I've been a DJ since 1997, and for me, you know, the feeling of vinyl is just, oh, you cannot get any better than that. Yeah. Sound quality, you will not get any better than a vinyl. So
I'm
for me, vinyl is, you know, part of my life.
Yeah.
But drums, I used to play the drums when I was a teenager, and I air drum all the time, so I think I might get back into drumming again, because it's just so much fun with drumming. I love drumming. And, you know, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar and the bass, because just I've always wanted to, but just haven't really gone forward with it. So I, you know, got the Rocksmith game, got a guitar, and
there
I'm
you
about
go.
To learn.
Cool. Yeah, you know, and that's something else part of healing, too, David, is looking forward to. You know, we can always learn something. You know, we got to do that. We've got to focus on those passions. You know, we don't have to be superstars. We can just dig what we're doing and feel good about what we produce. And wow, I learned that. Dang. You know,
I've been a bedroom DJ now for what, 17 years, you
yeah.
know, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love just DJing in my room and just having the imagination that I'm doing in front of a million people.
Yeah, exactly. So I also want to briefly mention, you talk about in your book, I think it was like the summer of 2009, you met Dr. Ruelas, and he started He started to help you a lot. So maybe you can share with listeners a little bit about some of the other things that helped you, beside your passion for music, beside your artistic, you know, inner soul. Some of the things that you learned from him about keeping you healthier.
Well, at first when I met Dr. Ruelas, he says, you are a work in progress. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be a progressive, it's going to be a while, long, you know, healing process for you. But I will get you there, is what he said to me, and this is in 2009. So I stuck with him. I'm still with him now, and he's doing this treatment on me, and it's cleaning up my cells from the inside.
Yeah.
So when my cells are reproducing, you know, with all the chemo, the radiation, all the medication, et cetera, you know, is reproducing, he's doing something that's going in there and cleaning these cells so they reproduce clean. So my body is, you know, clean on the inside as well. And that whole process has been absolutely night and day for, you know, my getting healthier again. But really, you know, for my mental state, it was writing the book, you know, meeting up with Marilla.
Yeah.
And just, you know, talking back and forth with the writing process and just getting everything out there and just sharing, you know, certain stories of what it was I went through. And that really was a very, very huge thing for me, was to write the story out and then just open up to Marilla about it.
Yes, exactly. How did you guys meet, by the way?
Actually, it was kind of a fluke. You know, I read her book in our house, and it was just such a brilliant story. And I just thought she was going to do my story the best justice. I reached out to her and kind of explained, you know, what my story was, and she said she would take it on and she would help me, you know, write the story and give it the justice it deserved.
Yeah.
And she did more than that, you know. It was beyond what I could have imagined.
Absolutely. Were you reading that the book In Our House, the one that she wrote? The Perception versus Reality Surrounded by Inspiration?
Yeah.
Damn, that's such a good book.
Heavy book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's why I thought she would do my story a lot of justice, because that book was really brilliant.
You know, it's a great story, too. It really was a brilliant book, and your book's brilliant, too, and most helpful. Marilla, by the way, is, you know, she's not a ghostwriter. I hate to say that, because she's a motivational speaker, and you know, she's been on Oprah's show several times. She's one of her ambassadors of hope, which is perfect for your story as well, because she's really out there to help people and, you know, sort of really find the important things in life and what really matters and what can bring us joy and happiness, that kind of thing. So I want to, you know, give a lot of credit to her as well. But you, like I said, you owned it. It's your story, David. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is. Thank you.
One of the things we're talking about today earlier is, you know, helping people out. And one of the really awesome gifts that you pass on to readers is that we're not supposed to waste the gift of life by destroying it with self-pity, victimizing ourselves, and just kind of like hanging in there through fear. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a, you know, thing where you can't live in that world for too long, you know, with the fear and all that. But it was part of the thing that kind of got me through what I needed to get through, and it was a good thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Just yeah.
Really well. Because it just, you know, was a motivation. It was part of the motivation I needed to get through what I needed to get through.
Yeah. So some of the things that really helped you out was, of course, the music, was your love of music. I mean, and that was so profound in your life, right?
Very.
Some
still
of the,
is to this day.
Yeah.
Everything about me is music, you know?
Yeah. And also part of your healing, as I read in your book, and I'm so blown away by what you've done is, you know, as growing up, we have issues with our parents. We have issues with our family members, our siblings. We all have stuff, right? No matter what. Right?
Yes.
We do. We all do. I don't think there's one soul on this earth that doesn't have some kind of mommy or daddy loved him better or her better, my sibling,
yep.
And, you know, because I'm not whatever enough, you know.
Yeah.
And then from that, you know, you went into finding yourself and not feeling good enough about yourself. And I know, thank God, your dad had the wherewithal to, you know, help you out with boarding school. But still, you were just kind of trying to find who you were. And you found music. You found spirituality. You reached out to Marilla. And the other thing, too, is that you found forgiveness. I mean, that is heavy. I think that is such a key. Forgiveness of others. Just forgiveness of yourself. Forgiveness. How did you do that?
Well, it was really kind of simple. It was not holding on to that negative energy, you know, because when I was going through, again, what I went through, I also, you know, had to be positive through all this, you know, going back to earlier with, you know, the blood type, be positive. So for me, it was just a matter of letting everything go and forgiving, you know, sometimes not forgetting, but forgiving, you know, and it really was just to take the weight off of my shoulders and just to go about life not worrying or bothering with something that I didn't really need to worry or bother with.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, it's a great attitude you have. It's so inspiring. And there's so many other things that you have in here, David, that are just really helpful to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the
that's the point of the book, you know, is to reach as many people and help them and give them a quality of life that they deserve, you know. It's just to be happy. I mean, I don't understand why people limit themselves on wanting to be happy. You can never limit yourself when it comes to happiness, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, certain things, but you just, to be happy, you got to be happy.
Exactly. Don't you think sometimes, David, that I don't know, I have a theory, that we sort of sometimes get in that, it's almost like a hypnotic state of worrying about the world. Oh my God, life sucks. Oh my God. Ugh. You know, and we're almost addicted to that drama sometimes, you know?
I'm not sure why you'd want to be addicted to that drama.
Yeah.
It's really, it just seems really, there's just nothing in it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just extra stress that you don't need for no reason. I mean, I just don't understand why people would really go into that world and dwell in that world. It just, it, you know, when happiness is just such a better feeling.
Gosh, it really is. And I think the key is just finding things like you did, David. Music. You know, your passion, sharing your story, you know, these are things that everybody needs to find, no matter what it is. May not be music, may not, whatever it is, but finding something that really does it for you, you know?
Yes.
How you feeling, buddy? You feeling okay? You feel well?
Oh, I'm amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. It was a nice, bright, sunny day here, you know, and yeah, every day is a good day, you know. I do my best to have a good day every day. I mean, not every day is going to be perfect, but there's always good in every day, and I just like to look for that good in every day.
God, I love that. I love that theory. And, you know, like you said when we first started talking about gratitude, you know, you wake up, you say, hey, I'm breathing. Look out the window.
Much. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, brother, you know. Have a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I know that you have a real connect to spirit because, I mean, miracles do happen. Is there anything you could say to people who are negative about, all I see is bad things in life and stuff happens to me and I get sick? And is there anything you can say to listeners that would just kind of shock them into, come on, guys, snap out of it?
Yeah, the thing is, if you're in that kind of a state of mind where you're cynical, you can't do anything about it until you want to change your pattern of thinking. And once you are able to change that, then you'll start to see, once you start thinking positive, positive things will happen in different, many different forms. But if you're going to be in a world of, you know, being cynical or you just kind of passe, then that's what, that's the energy you're going to attract.
Yeah.
Life is an energy. It's an, everything is a form of energy. So if you're going to put out good energy will come back in a different, many different forms. But if you're going to have cynical kind of, you know, sarcastic kind of views in life, then guess what? That's the kind of energy you're going to receive back.
That's right.
Because when you focus on something so much, that's what you start to see. So for me, if you, for me, I had to change, you know, my cynicism to positivity, because I just, I had to live a happy life because I wanted to be happy. So it's just a matter of changing your mind frame to being that of a happy one, and just getting out of that world and dwelling in it.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, great words, David. You know, you're an inspiration to a lot of folks. How can listeners find out more about you, your journey, and get a hold of your book, Bad to the Bone?
Well, my book, Bad to the Bone, is available on iTunes, Kobo, BarnesandNoble.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available on my webpage, www.davidtuccaro.com,
mm-hmm.
T-U-C-C-A-R-O.
Mm-hmm.
And you can order it hardback there, and I will sign that for you personally and
wow.
send it off to you. On Amazon, you can get it on paperback or on ebook, and then on Kobo, iTunes, and Amazon again, you can get them on ebook.
Cool. And this will be up, by the way, right here on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio for replay and download. All my shows are available as well on iTunes for free on podcasts. So you guys can listen to this and get more information about David if you missed a little bit of this, or you want to listen to it again and feel his inspiration. How's that? David, that's right. Feel it. You feel it. You got
to
do it.
I need to be inspired every day.
Yeah.
And I hope this story, you know, is just one of those stories that inspires you to go out and just be happy and live an awesome life, you
that's
know?
That's right.
You deserve it. Everybody deserves it.
That's what we're here for, huh? We come in here and we go, hey, I want to play.
Yes. Right. You know, like this song says, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. And who knows
yep.
where we're going, and hopefully it's a good place, but enjoy it while we're in this conscious state, and don't forget that law of attraction, right?
Yes.
Got to keep vibing on that all the time, honey. Keep those high vibes up and roll through the bad ones and know the good ones are going to come as well. Hey,
yeah.
Dave, you're great. I thank you so much for being such a super guest here on the couch.
Oh, thank you so very much for having me. I just so appreciate me, you know, sharing my story and just to really get out to the listeners there, you know, just I know it can be hard at times,
yeah.
but if you can see the good in every little thing, you know,
yeah.
life will be a lot better and a lot happier and just more fun
yeah.
and tolerable, if you will.
That's right. Perfectly said. And I love the way you put a positive spin on the negative, man. What can I see and what can I learn from this stuff? And that's always in the journey of the bad stuff we go through, looking at it that way as well. Thank you so much, David. Take good care, and God bless you.
Thanks. You too, and to all your listeners as well out there, God bless you guys.
Mm.
You know, whoever, may your God bless you, you know. That's one of my favorite sayings.
Mm-hmm. I know that. Thanks. Thanks again, Dave. We'll keep in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye now. All right, that's really, you guys got to pick up the book. It's amazing. It's an inspiring story. We got to go. We got a hard break with CBS News coming up. David Tuccaro, the book is called Bad to the Bone, The True Story of David Tuccaro Jr. Overcoming leukemia, living through it, getting through it, healing, having positive thoughts. Makes you feel like, wow, your life's a cakewalk. It's easy stuff. Thank you guys for listening. As I always do say, take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others, because that's the way it works in the world. It's not narcissistic. You just got to be strong and take care of you. I'll be back next week. More great information helping you get yourself together and work on your self-esteem. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle. You can stay on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye now.